Okay, we'll just quickly review from the bottom of Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Bet by the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Mazgudo Koshlishi, they poured for him, they diluted for him his third cup, and Verecho Mizono. He uses that cup for Birkat HaMazon. Rivi'i, the fourth cup, Gomer Olav Et Halel, Vomer Olav Birkat Shir. He finishes the Halel. In the previous Mishnah, we discussed whether says the first paragraph or the first two paragraphs of Halel. And now he says the remainder of that Halel. And then Birkat HaShir, which will be discussed in the Gemara. Ben HaKasot HaLalu, Imrotze Lishtot Yishteh. Between these cups, between the first, second, and third, and fourth, for sure, Yishteh, he can drink. There are some Mishonim that discuss about between the first and second cup whether he can drink as well. Some of them believe that it's not a problem at all to drink beforehand because it brings on the appetite. Others worry about the fact that he might get drunk and not a good idea if you drink too much before the meal. And Shlishi Levi Lo Yishteh. Between the third and the fourth cup, one may not drink. So again, here, there are differences of opinion. Some believe it's a problem because it might wipe out the taste of the matzah if you drink too much, or the korban of Pesach in the time of the Mikdash. Others think that that's not an issue because shtiyah, as Tosafot says, does not wipe out the taste, only achila, and therefore the problem is noted by the Yerushalmi as that if you drink too much now, you will not be able to complete the Seder, because now you would get drunk, even though you drank a ton beforehand, the wine during the meal doesn't affect you like the wine after the meal, and since we want you to finish off the Seder,
and according to the Rambam, to Misaper and Yitziat Mitzrayim Kol Alaylo,
we don't want you to drink too much. That's different views in the Rishonim as to why you cannot drink between the third and the fourth cup. Amalei Rav Chanan on the Rava, Shma Minah Birkatim Izon Tun Akos. From here you would conclude that you have to bench Alakos. Amalei Arba Kasei Tiknu Rabbanon De Rechirut. The Rabbanon instituted four cups. Kochai Bechad Navid Be Mitzvah. And therefore, they wanted each one to be associated with a mitzvah. So don't draw any conclusions that benching has to be done Alakos. Because the kos is here because we wanted to associate something of significance with each kos or give significance to certain parts of the Seder through the kos. And that's why we bench all the kos. But don't extrapolate from that to regular days. What not to extrapolate? Yesterday I discussed the difference of opinions, three different opinions amongst the Rishonim, what this means. The Rambam says, you don't have to bench on a kos, period. That's the way the Rambam views it. The Tosafot brings the Rabbeinu Yechiel, who thinks that you have to bench on a kos all the time. But here, if you're alone and you don't have wine, you can get away with it a little bit. And then there's the middle sheet of the Tosafot that he brings that means you don't have to bench on a kos when you're alone, but when you have a zimun, you do need to bench on a kos. So again, all of those are brought down in the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. Today, the practice generally is, if you have a kos, is to only have it with the zimun, not to have it by yourself. Mishnah Berurah, I think, even brings in the Shaar Tzion that mitzad kabbalah, it's not good to bench on a kos. But then, even with the zimun, many people don't bench with a kos today. If the wrong wine is not readily available, it's not their minog. But as I mentioned yesterday, the Mishnah Berurah does say by Shabbat, even if you don't bench the rest of the week and the zimun with a kos, then it might be kedai to do it on Shabbat because when you have a zimun. Now the Gemara moves on, my birkat hashir. What's this birkat hashir that's mentioned in the Mishnah? If you Amar, Yalucha Hashem Elukeinu. The Yalucha Hashem Elukeinu is the closing bracha for Halel. The closing bracha for Halel, that's the birkat hashir. So despite the fact that you didn't make a bracha rishona, you didn't make bracha over the Halel in the beginning, nevertheless, you do make a bracha in the end of Yalucha. Now, according to those who do say you make a bracha beforehand, then in addition to that, you also make a bracha afterwards. Tosafot discusses whether this is dependent on the minhag that was mentioned in the fourth parak, or is this according to everyone that we say this Birkat HaShir over here? Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Nishmat Kochai. In addition, you have to say Nishmat Kochai. Again, this is questionable whether that means in addition to the Yalucha that's part of the Birkat HaShir. So you have Nishmat Kochai and Yalucha. Or does the in addition mean you say Yalucha, and then you say Nishmat Kochai with its own bracha, its own completing bracha? So Tosafot discusses that here. Says Nira Hachei Perush Af Nishmat Kochai Achar Yalucha. After Yalucha, you say Nishmat Kochai. Dilo Temahocha Anan Keman Abdina. Who do we follow? Whose position do we follow? If you look at the end of the Tosafot, Rabbeinu Chaim Kohen Voyachutem Yalucha Kim Nishmat. He didn't end with the Yalucha, but with Nishmat Levado Shum Delishna the Birkat Shir Mashmach Ada Bracha. It's one bracha and not multiple brachot. That's what comes up in our Haggadah. And the Haggadah that after Halel, they have the bracha of Yalucha. And then it says sometimes don't be chotem with the bracha then. Then there's Nishmat Kochai, I'm going to see Halel Agadol. And then the question whether then you end with Ishtabach and then possibly Yehalucha, then you switch over from the end of Ishtabach into Yehalucha to complete it. So that's a question whether there should be one bracha or two brachot here at the completion of the Seder. Now that might have to do with the next statement which is couched in a lot of controversy, which is Tanu Rabbanan, Revi'i Gomer Alav Et Halel. On the fourth cup, you finish the Halel. Bomer Halel Agadol Divrei Rabbi Tarfon. You also, in addition to that, say Halel Agadol. Halel Agadol, which we'll see in a second, we know as Hodu Hashem Kitov, the Hodus. Some people say to add in also Hashem Lo Yachsar because of the meal, because of eating. And since we ate, it's a thanks to Hashem for providing us with the meal. So we might add that in addition. So now I'll just read one or two things and then we'll go back and look at the controversy surrounding what we just read. Meichan Halel Agadol. From where does Halel Agadol start? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mehodu Ad Narod Babel. From Hodu Hashem Kitov Kolam Chasto, that's in Perek Kuf Lamed Vav. Anarod Bavel is the next Perek. So you only have to read that Perek of Hodu Hashem, not the next Perek of Anarod Bavel. You stop at the last of the Kilulam Chastos and don't read into Narod Bavel. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Mishir HaMalot Ad Narod Bavel. Two Prakim beforehand, there is Shir HaMalot, Hinei Barchut Hashem. From that Shir HaMalot, the next Perek Tehillim, and then Hodu Hashem Ki Tov Kolam Chasto. So those three Prakim of Tehillim are all included over here until Anarod Bavel, again, not including Anarod Bavel, but until. V'acha B'Yakov Amar B'chei Yakov B'char Lo Ka Anarod Bavel. So he says from the middle of the Tehillim in Kuf Lamed Hei till Anarod Bavel. This brings us back to what we discussed yesterday, which is B'chei Yaakov b'char lo ka ad narod bavel, m'chei Yaakov b'char lo ka is the fourth pasuk in Kuf Lamed Hei. So what do you mean? Why are you starting in the middle of a Tehillim? So this has to do with yesterday about the Aluka that we mentioned yesterday where the Gemara quotes the pasuk of Shom Din B'Veit Hashem, Aluka de Batrei, Reish Pirka is the beginning of a Perek. Well, that's pasuk bet in Tehillim Kuf Lamed Hei. And we say, what do you mean? That the third pasuk is the beginning of a Tehillim? And the end, Tosfot says, Ein Ochanami. The first two psukim of Kuf Lamed Hei actually belong to Kuf Lamed Dalet, which is three psukim long, the Shir HaMalot that we mentioned before, that Kuf Lamed Dalet is three psukim. The next two psukim in Kuf Lamed Hei belong to that. And then the Haluka that starts in the subsequent pasuk, in pasuk Gimel, is the beginning of that Tehillim. That's exactly what is being suggested over here. This is one of the proofs that Tosfot brought, is here the Gemara says, that you start from the middle of that Tehillim, because the middle of that Tehillim is actually the real, it's a new Tehillim, and it starts from that Halleluka. And so that's what's being said over here. So that is the Halel Agadol. Our practice is to say, from Nishmat Kochai, like Rabbi Yehuda suggests over here, Mihodu, until Adnarot Bavel, that's what we call Halel Agadol, that's what we add in. Now why this is so controversial is because the Rashbam over here changed the Girsa. The Rashbam actually changed the Girsa, as well as the Tosafot discusses it and changes the Girsa. So the fact that they say, Hachi Garsinan, this is the way that the Girsa should be, you can see it in the Rashbam, he says, Hachi Garsinan, Tanarbanan, Revi, Gomer, Alevet, Halel, Gomer, Alevet, Halel, Agadol. That's exactly the Girsa that we have. If the Rashbam is telling you that that's the Girsa, it's obvious that there were alternative Girsaot. Now there are alternative Girsaot because most of the Rishonim, the Rov HaRishonim, disagree with the Rashbam and the Girsa over here, and think that the Girsa should be Acheret. The Kitvei Yad also show that the original Lashon here was not like the Rashbam, but rather like the other Rishonim, Rav Nachum Kasher, in his Sefer Torah Shlema, he also says it in his Arts Yisraelit, in his Agada, says that their overwhelming evidence is that the Girsa was Acheret. Now, why is it so controversial? I'll read it to you, and then you'll know why the Rashbam and Tosafot suppress the Girsa. Tanu Rabbanan, Kos Chamishi, Omrim Alav Halel Agadol. On the fifth cup, you say Halel Agadol, Divrei Rabbi Tarfon. Yesh Omrim, Hashem Lo Yachsar. And then the Rosh has this Girsa, the Rif has this. This is the Rosh, who brings, it's the Rigish, it's what the Rashbam says, Hachi Garsinan, which what he was going against, which is this Girsa. For Rashbam Goreis Revi Omrim Alav Halel Gadol Kos Chamishi Mandekar Shmei. Whoever heard of a fifth cup? The whole parak, we're talking about four cups. We just did it after the Mishnah. whoever mentioned a fifth cup. So in the end, what all the Rishonim say is that the fifth cup is optional. That's why it's not mentioned. The first four cups are mandatory. The fifth cup is an optional cup. If he wants to, he can have a fifth cup. If you want to make a fifth cup, then you say Halel Gadol over the fifth cup. Aval lefig yirsed esvareim mashma del Rabbi Tarfon v'yesh omrim kos kamishi avlei chuva. Now gu olam lasot reshut. From the yirsa, it sounds like the fifth cup was mandatory, but the practice was to make it into a reshut. He says v'chein katuv arav Yosef tov aleim v'yesitev olam zal shim ayat ta'ev lishtot. If he wants to drink more, yase kos kamishi. Then he makes a fifth cup. Mashma we talked to Rav Shasur Lishtot Achar Arba Kosot. That you cannot drink after the four kosot. So in order to facilitate drinking after the four kosot, you have to make a fifth cup of kos chamishi. Tosafot as well discusses this. Now he's quoting already from the Tosafot. And that he discussed what's the problem with drinking between the third and fourth cup. If it's a problem of ishtaker, if he gets drunk, if had it not been for the fact that we were worried about you getting drunk, we would have let you drink more wine. Or if it's to maintain the taste of the afikoman, nevertheless, we're letting you drink the third and fourth cup. So that means that drinking can't be a problem. Therefore, there's no issue in terms of water, at least, which is, I think the practice of many is that if you're really thirsty and need to have to drink, then you drink water. But the possibility is that it's wine and that it's this fifth cup. So as Rav Nachum Pasha puts out, most of the Rishonim believe that there is a fifth cup, and most of them deal with it as being reshut instead of chova, as being optional instead of mandatory.
Rav Kapach in the Rambam mentions that his family minhag forever was to have a fifth cup and to drink that fifth cup at the meal along the lines of the girsa that we have based on the Rif, the Rambam, the Rosh, that there is a fifth cup in the Seder.
Now, what happened to the fifth cup and why is the fifth cup different? So first of all, what happened to the fifth cup is that because of the girsa change of the Rishbam and the Tosafot, Rashi, who said it has to be kos revi'i and not kos chamishi, what happened to our kos chamishi is it became kos Eliyahu. Kos Eliyahu is that we pour a fifth cup, but we do not drink the fifth cup. So that's how we deal with this issue of the fifth cup, is we really do have a fifth cup, we just don't end up drinking it. But according to most of the Rishonim, you could drink it as well. It's not simply there is a fifth cup. You can drink the fifth cup. Now, why? What's happening here? The Gemara just said before that there are arba kosot in the night. So the answer would be the four kosot are chova. This is not a chova, this is a reshut. But why? So the Yerushalmi says, what's the reason for the arba kosot? Is keneged the arba lishonei geula. Four lishonei geula, they're found at the beginning of Parshat Vayera. That all will deal with leaving Mitzrayim and then becoming Hashem's nation. But then, if you look carefully, there is a fifth Lashon Geula there, which is Eveti, that I will bring you into the land of Israel. And so there really is a fifth Lashon Geula, and based on that, maybe there should be five cups. So what happened to that fifth cup? And even if you say that we do have a fifth cup, those Rishonim still think it's a reshut, it's still optional. Why isn't it mandatory? The answer is, I wrote an article about this almost 20 years ago, that the Haggadah suppresses any mention of going into Eretz Yisrael. Intentionally, not because it's anti-Zionist, but intentionally, the Haggadah does not mention going into Eretz Yisrael. For instance, when it comes to Arami Oved Avi, we darshan the psukim from Arami Oved Avi, and the Mishnah says at Sofa Parsha Kula, you finish off the Parsha. We do not finish off the parsha, because the last pasuk that they don't darshan is that Hashem brought me into the land of Israel, and that's where I live now, and we don't bring down that pasuk. And if you look carefully over the years, I've found more and more examples of that. We quote pasukim from Yoshua. We also leave out the last pasuk, which involves going into Eretz Yisrael. Over and over and over again, if you look, the Baal Haggadah is suppressing that final pasuk, that final item that is about going into Eretz Yisrael. There's more to speak about it. I'll give you the quick shot on why it is. It's because the focus of the night is leaving Eretz Mitzrayim. The entering into Eretz Yisrael will only take place later on, and that's on Shavuot. On Shavuot, we have Matan Torah, Mamad Har Sinai, and entering into Eretz Yisrael. Where do we bring the Bikurim? When does Mana Bikurim start? Zman HaBikurim starts from Shavuot. The first new fruits that are brought into the Mikdash are brought on Shavuot. And on Shavuot, you read the full Parsha of Bikurim. On Shavuot, you celebrate, commemorate Mamad Har Sinai, the missing elements, which would have been the purpose or the tachlit of leaving Eretz Mitzrayim. Hashem makes two promises to Moshe in Shmot when he's trying to tell him to go in and take Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. One is that the oath will be that they'll worship me on this har. And number two is, I'm taking them to Eretz Zavat Chalav Udvash. I'm taking them to Eretz Yisrael. So those are the two purposes of Yitziat Mitzrayim. But they don't come to fruition, or we don't discuss them until Shavuot. On Pesach, on the night of Pesach, the only focus is the leaving of Mitzrayim, the physical freedom, the leaving from the bondage, and therefore we don't mix in the other items there, and they are suppressed within the Haggadah. We don't mention them at all. The fifth cup of Ve'veiti Etchem is also Reshut. We don't emphasize it, we don't focus on it, whether we don't have it at all, whether it's Hoshel Eliyahu, not because Eliyahu because is going to protect us from our enemies, but Eliyahu because he's the bearer of the news of Ve'veiti Etchem. He's the one who's going to take us back to Eretz Yisrael, or because we have the fifth cup as a Reshut, because we're not there in Eretz Yisrael. Menachem Kasher argues very strongly and vehemently that today, where we have come back to Eretz Yisrael, that the fifth cup should be more emphasized, or we should celebrate. I mean, we have to thank Hashem for Ve'veiti Etchem now, and therefore we should be drinking the fifth cup, and even though it's Reshut, majority of the Rishonim believe that's the case, fifth cup exists, and it's focused on our reality, which is that we have returned to Eretz Yisrael, and to ignore that would be inappropriate, he says, and we should, he very strongly, in a lot of strong words, says that we should be drinking the fifth cup today because we've come back to the land of Israel. I should mention that the Nitziv already asked the question about the four cups and the fifth cup. He says, well, the first four cups are Keneged Lishonei Geula. And he says, the fifth cup is about Viyadata, Keni Hashem, that you should know that I am Hashem. So Viyadata, Keni Hashem is not for everybody. Not everybody reaches that closeness with Hashem. Not everybody can reach that form of relationship with Hashem. And therefore, that's why it's an optional cup, and why it's not, the fifth cup is not mandatory. Some of the other Rishonim connect the fifth cup to V'lakachtachem Li. They connect the fifth cup to V'lakachtem, saying that when it's clear that Hashem has taken us as His nation, then there's a fifth cup. When there is no V'lakachtachem Li, meaning it's not obvious that Hashem has taken us as a nation, we're downtrodden, we're spread out amongst the other nations, then maybe there is no fifth cup of Ve'veiti, because V'lakachtem Li. Most argue against that. L'kachtem li is a permanent state between us and Hashem. That's not the batel. Although, it's true that when we're not in Eretz Yisrael, maybe ve'veiti is not something that we would have said. But now, today, again, that we have ve'veiti, maybe we should reintroduce the fifth cup. And that's the argument of Rav Nachman Kasher. That's just a little background to that controversy. Sheds a new light on the Koshel Eliyahu, which nobody ever focuses on. Why do we have the Koshel Eliyahu? It's not because of Shvoch HaMatcha. It's because there likely was a fifth cup in the Seder, and that's the Girsa that was probably in the Gemaras before it was taken out by the Rishvam, the Tosafot, who think that there shouldn't be a fifth cup here. All right, now, right in the Gemara. Why do we call it Alel HaGadol? Yeshuv sits in the heights of the world, and he distributes the parnasah for each individual. And as we're going to say, that is what's found in Alel HaGadol, Notein Lechem Lechob Basar, Ki leolam chazdo. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Hane esrim v'shisha hodu, these 26 hodu, keneged me. Keneged chavav dorot shebar kodesh baruch hu b'olamo, v'no matan lahem Torah. The 26 generations that precede matan Torah, v'zan otam b'chazdo. And Hashem sustained them, gave them parnasa through His chesed, until the point of time when there is matan Torah, and then through matan Torah, then that's what provides the sustenance to the world, or what's demanded of us to maintain the sustenance of the world. What is meant by Hodud Hashem Ki Tov? What does that mean? Give thanks to Hashem because Ki Tov, He is good. Hodud Hashem, give thanks to Hashem, Shegovah Chabuto Shel Adam B'Tovato, that He takes reparations, payment for the obligations for a person, B'Tovato. So you can read B'Tovato here as two things, B'Tovato in His kindness, out of the goodness of His heart. Or you can say bitovato is with the gifts that He's given to man, which is ashir bishoro, the rich man through his shor, ani b'seyo, the ani through his se, yatom b'veitzato, with his egg, the yatom, the orphan, amanah, the widow, Petarna Golata, with her chicken. So each one of them, the gifts that Hashem gives to the individuals, mean their possessions that they have, Hashem takes retribution out on the possessions and not on the individual. So that's the Tova from both perspectives. It's a double meaning of Tova. Hashem is good because he doesn't punish the individual for the things that they are supposed to be punished. Rather, he takes it out on Tovatan, that which is good, what's good, the things that Hashem granted, the possessions that Hashem granted the individuals. And the Gemara gives, you know, the possessions of each type, the wealthy, the poor, the orphan, the widow, the small amount that they have or the large amount that they have, Hashem takes out his anger or that punishment on the Tova. That's the Chesed Hashem. Then he doesn't affect the individual, and he's able to discharge the one's obligations through their possessions. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, kashin mizonotav shel adam, kiflayim kiyoleida. Providing sustenance or panosa to individuals is twice as hard as childbirth. Dilu b'yoleida k'tiv. When it says that Hashem curses Adam and Chava, it says be'etziv tali banim, that it says etziv. U'mizonot k'tiv, be'itzavon tochal. Be'itzavon here is a lashon of double etziv, more than one etziv. So it is greater than the pain or pangs of birth is the pain of getting sustenance or parnaso. V'amar Rabbi Yochanan, kashim zonotav shel adam yoter min ha-geula. It's even harder than Hashem bringing the redemption. Tilo b'gdula k'tiv ha-malach ha-gaut oti miko ra. There, where Yaakov is giving the bracha to the children of Yosef, says the malach that took care of me from all evil. Malach ba'alma. There, all he needed was a malach to protect him from the bad. V'ilu b'mizanot k'tiv, in the prior pasuk he says, Helukim ha'ura oti, me'oti ad yom hazeh, God who shepherded me, but sustained me ad yom hazeh until today, he uses the Shem Hashem. For sustenance or for taking care of him, he needed the Shem Hashem. For protecting him from evil, he only needed a malach. And that's what he means, that the ge'ula requires less effort than to giving parnasa to individuals. Amar Rabbi Shul ben Levi, Shashamar Kodesh Baruch Hu Adam v'kotz v'dardar tatzmiach v'lach, that the weeds and the thorns will grow from you with what you plant. Zalgueinav dima'ot, he began to cry. Amar lefanav ribono shalom, ani v'chumari ne'achal b'avus echad, I and my donkey will eat from the same trough, and all we're going to have is this, the weeds and the thorns. Kevin shamarlo b'zeat apecha tochalachem nitkarad dato. He was comforted. He was calmed by the fact that through the sweat of your brow, you shall be able to eat bread. Meaning that there will be something that distinguishes man from animal. Amarish Lakish. Now here you have to change the girsa. If you look in the Masorah Tashas, he has the girsa, proper girsa over here. Ashreinu shlo emadnu barishona. We are thankful, praise, rejoice in the fact that we didn't have to deal with the first one. Meaning that Hashem put the first one to rest, which is the weeds and the thorns, we don't eat those. Now, Amar Abaye, Abaye says, V'adayin lo paltinan mina, we didn't escape from it entirely. V'achlinan isva dedabra, because we do eat the greens of the field. I don't know if he's talking about like alfalfa, if he's talking about other vegetables. We do eat some of the vegetables, we do eat greens from the ground that the animals also do eat. So we haven't escaped from it entirely, but even though we don't feel it in its fullness, we still have a residual taste of this idea that we would have been eating from the weeds and the thorns. Amar Rav Shizvi Mishmei de Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Kashim Mishonotav Shel Adam Ki Kriyat Yam Suf. The difficulty in providing parnasah is as great as Hashem splitting the sea by the Yam Suf. Tichtiv Sukim in Kof Lamid Vavar Notein Lechem Lechol Basar V'Samich Lei Ugozer Yam Suf L'Gzarim. Hashem split the Yam Suf into paths. Amar Rav Elazar ben Azariah, Kashin Nikavav Shel Adam Ki Yom Amita U'Kriyat Yam Suf. That a person who is constipated, their difficulty is as difficult as Yom HaMitah, the day of death, Kriyat Yam Suf, for the splitting of the sea, Shenamar. So he wrote the question from Yishayahu, which is, Mihar Tso'eh Lehi Pateach. So now, Mihar Tso'eh here refers to a prisoner, or someone who is bowed over. Hashem will quickly release the prisoner, or release the one who is bowed over. So that's the pashut pshat of the pasuk, uchti batrei, and it writes after it, rogah hayam ve'emu galav. He's the one who has the waves roar and moves the sea, stirs the sea up. So that's referring to Kriyat Yam Suf. He moves the waves, he stirs the sea up, and that's next to Mi'ar Tso'eh Li'Pateach. Now, one of two ways to read this, the one way to read it is Mi'ar Tso'eh Li'Pateach, They're playing on the word so'eh because the word for excrement is so'ah with an aleph. So mihirat so'ah lipateach is to release one from constipation. And therefore, that would be the meaning of the pasuk here in juxtaposition to the rogayam. That's one way to read it. And the other way, the Rishbam brings an alternative way to read it, which is that mihar so'eh lipateach is to free one from being stopped, free one from being incarcerated. So same thing over here. The idea of one who's constipated is that they are stopped, and therefore this is the freeing or the releasing of that which is stopped up. So not playing on the word so'ah directly, but on the mashal idea here of constipation being in the same concept. Anybody who denigrates the holidays, it's as if he's worshipping Avodah Zarah. Shenemar, Elohei Masecha lo taselach. Images of gods you should not make for yourself. Uchtiv Etrei, Et Chag HaMatzot, Tishmor. Elohei Masecha lo taselach is in Shmot Lamed Daled, and then right afterwards, juxtaposed to that is the Parsha of the Regalim, which is Chag HaMatzot, Tishmor. So the way that the Rishbam learns it over here is that the Mo'adot we're talking about here is Chol HaMoed. That's someone who does Melacha on Chol HaMoed. Even though you're not allowed to do malacha on cholam oed, cholam evazet amoladot is keilu aveda v'adizara. The Rambam, on the other hand, learns it in Pirkei Avot to mean moadot, literally, the moed, the yom tov itself, evazet amoladot, rather than cholam oed. And Rav Sheshet Mishum Rav Lazim Nazariah, cholam esaper lashon hara, cholam ekabel lashon hara, v'cholam eidei du tsheker b'chaviro. Anybody who speaks or says over lashon hara, who accepts lashon hara, v'meidei du tsheker b'chaviro, or testifies falsely about their friend, you should throw him to the dogs. Shinemar. The pasuk says, that's referring to the treifa. That's the last pasuk in Perek Chav Bet. The first pasuk in Perek Chav Gimel is, lo tisa shema shav. So the way they're doing this is that you should not bear. Shema shav can either be bear false witness, or shema can be reports. You should not bear false reports. You should not carry around Lashon Hara. Way our Gemara reads is Vikari Bey, and you should also read it, not only Lutisa, that you should bear, but Lotasi, that you should not cause to be born these reports. So the Gemara here is saying Lotisa refers to the one who accepts it, the Misaper, you need Lotasi. The Rashbam eliminates this from the gear, so Vikari Bey Lotasi says it's all included in Lotisa. Lotisa, that you should not bear false reports or false witness. The bearing over there can come in two forms. It manifests itself both in the telling over as well as the accepting, and therefore you don't need this limud. So the Rishbam eliminates that last limud here. So why do we, on the other hand, if this we have all of this halal agadol, why are we bothering to say regular halal? The regular halal that we say all the other times, we have halal agadol. If it's called halal agadol, then we're saying, when you have the mo'adot, and any other time we say halal, we're saying halal haka tan. Why not say halal gadol instead of halal katan? Says Hashem sheishvah hay dvarim alalu, because it contains within it these three things. Yitziat Mitzrayim. The Gemara will go through each of these things in a second. Show it. Kriyat Yamsuf. So it's leaving Mitzrayim, the Exodus. They're going through the Yamsuf. Matan Torah, acceptance of the Torah. Tchiyat Amitim, the bringing of the dead back to life. Bechadlo shel Mashiach, and the pangs of Mashiach. Tziat Mitzrayim dichtib etzayt Yisrael miMitzrayim. So that one's pretty easy, pretty straightforward. Kriyat Yamsuf dichtib, again straightforward. Ayam Ra'ah. Ve'anos, the Yam saw and ran away. Matan Torah dichtiv, Herim rakdu ke'elim. The mountains trembled like the elim. That refers to Matan Torah, where all the mountains were trembling. Tchiyat ha'metin dichtiv, et aleich pnei Hashem v'artzot ha'chayim. So that I will walk before Hashem in the land of the living. Meaning that, obviously it's talking about someone where the land of the living is not relevant. Then so, et aleich pnei Hashem, with Hashem, I will return to the land of the living. That's talking about Tchiyata Meitim. Chavloshon Mashiach, Tiktiv, Lolanu Hashem, Lolanu, which is similar to what we saw yesterday about Lolanu Hashem, Lolanu, which is not to us. We shouldn't have to experience that. What are they talking about? That they shouldn't have to experience is Chavloshon Mashiach, the birth pangs of Mashiach. Rabbi Yochanan, Lolanu Hashem, Lolanu, Zushibud Malchiot, is actually the subjugation by the other nations, of the four nations. This is the battle of Gog and Magog that we read about in the afterword of Sukkot. Nachum bar Yitzchak amar, "Pnei sheyesh bo milut nafshot shel tzadikim migehinom." The reason that we read Halel HaKatan is because it talks about the saving of the tzadikim from Gehinom. Shneamar, Ana Hashem malata nafshi. Please Hashem, I beseech you, malata nafshi, save my soul. Save my soul from going into Gehinom. And because of that, we read that Hallel. Chizki amar mipnei sheish bo yiridam shel tzadikim lekivshan ha'esh veliyatam mimenu. Because it speaks about the tzadikim being put into the furnace, into the fire, veliyatam mimenu, and they're being released from it. Yiridam dichtiv, they're going into it, says, lolanu Hashem lolanu, this shouldn't happen to us. Amar Chananya. That's what Chananya said. When we're talking about the tzadikim that were thrown into the fire by Nebuchadnezzar, it's Chananya, Mishael, Bazariah. The Gemara attributes these statements to them. Lolanu Hashem lolanu is what Amar Chananya. Ki l'shimcha tein kavod Amar Mishael. It should be for your name. For the sake of your name, you should protect us. Achas lecha v'amitecha. On your graciousness and your truth, Amar Azariah. Lama yomru agoyim. Why will the other nations say that there is no Hashem, but idols are the real gods? Amru Kulan, the three of them said together. When they come out of the fire, because it says, Halalu at Hashem, Kol Goyim, Amar Chananya. Let all the nations praise Hashem. Shabchu Kol Amim. And should be given praises to all the different nations. Amar Mishael. Ki Gavar Aleinu Chasto, Amar Azariah. Because of the graciousness or the goodness that he's done to us, says Azariah. Ve'emet Hashem le'olam haleluka amru kulan. And all three of them said together that Hashem is the true God forever. Ve'eshomrim, ve'emet Hashem le'olam Gabriel amaro. That was said by Gabriel. And we'll talk about that in 1 second as to why it's Gabriel. What you have here is very interesting, which is they're explaining that the next departure of Halelu et Hashem kol goyim, they're explaining that that has to do with that the other nations are praising Hashem. The real question is, why are the other nations praising Hashem? Ki gavar aleinu chasto. For the goodness or the great graciousness that he did to us. What do you mean? Why are they praising Hashem for the things that were for our benefit? The way the Rishbam reads it is that the other nations praise Hashem, and Kal Vachomer for us that we should praise Hashem because the Tova was for us. They're praising Hashem even though the Tova wasn't for them, but rather for us. Certainly we should praise Hashem because the Tova was for us. That's one way to read it. The other way I've heard in the name of Rav Willig, who brings it in the name of one of the Chassidish Rebbeim,
Rav Itzala Ponovich,
which is that when it comes to the salvation of Bal Yisrael, only Halelu et Hashem kol goyim, only the other nations of the world will know what Hashem saves us from. Hashem saves us from the things that the other nations plan to do to us. And so when we're saved, we don't even know what the plan was because Hashem spared us and we didn't have this. So who's the only one who can really give praise to Hashem for the tovah that's done to Bal Yisrael? It's Halelu et Hashem kol goyim. Shabhu kol omim. Those that planned all those acts and planned what they wanted to do with their soul, but they were thwarted by Hashem, they can give praise to Hashem. They're the ones who give the true praise to Hashem for the tovah that is done to Klal Yisrael. That's what the Gemara is offering up here, that the other goyim will give praise to Hashem for what they see. They see that Hashem gave salvation to Hananya, Mishael, Ova, Azariah. So the tovah was to them being saved. Yet the other nations are giving praise, seeing the greatness of Hashem. Yet there's a Kiddush Hashem that takes place over here. So that's obviously what the Gemara is after over here. There's still the same question that arises, which is, why are they giving the praise? Why aren't we giving the praise? The Rishbam reads that it's Kal Vachomer that we have to give praise. And again, according to what I just said, the Vort, is that the other nations who were, what they had planned to do to Hananya, Mishael, Azariah, they're the ones who can give the real praise. Because they're the ones who planned to kill them and wipe them out, and Hashem's saving of them, their plans are thwarted by Hashem. So the tovah that's done to Bnei Yisrael, they see, and then they can give praise to Hashem. Correct, correct. Like Bilam. Same similar ideas to what happens by Bilam. Alright, so now the Gemara says, some say Emet Hashem Neolam is by Gabriel that Hashem is basically trustworthy, keeps his word. Because, Vishashi peeled Nimrod Arashat Avram Avinu to Kivshanaish. When Nimrod threw Avram Avinu into the Kivshanaish, so Rishbam points out over here, this is based on the Midrash or the Chazal that Nimrod and Amraphel are the same person. That they're one and the same. So the Midrash thought that Amraphel was the one who did it. That's the same thing as Nimrod doing it. Amar Gabriel, Ipnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Ered Ve'Tzanein. Let me go down and cool the fire off for Avram Avinu, Vatzil Et HaTzadik Mikim Shanesh, and I'll save Avram from this being thrown into the furnace. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ani Yachid Bolami, V'Hu Yachid Bolamo. I'm one in my world, and the Avram is the Lone Ranger who is carrying the word of Hashem down below. Ne'eh Le'Yachid, Vatzil Et HaYachid. It's good for the one to save the one. And therefore Hashem goes down and saves Avram himself. Hashem never holds back the reward from Eir the Briah. Here Gabriel volunteered to help out Avram. He has to be rewarded for that. You will be rewarded with the fact that you will be merit saving three of his descendants. Darash Rabbi Shimon Hashiloni, Bishashi Pil Nebuchadnezzar Rasha, when Nebuchadnezzar threw in Hananiah, Mishael, Azel, Tov, Shina, Ish, Ahmad, Yurkamo, whatever the name is, Sarhab Barad, the one who is the minister of Barad, Barad being the ice or the coolness. Should I go down and cool off the furnace for Hananiah, Mishael, Azerah? Atzila Tzadikim Alom in Kibshan Eish, and they'll be saved from the fire. Amarlo Gabriel, Gabriel interjects, in Gruatosha, Kadosh Baruch Hu B'kach. That doesn't really show off Hashem's real powers. Shatas Sar Barad, or Sar Shobarad, you're in charge of the ice. Of course, water ice puts out the fire. Vakol Yodim, Shamayim Mechabim Et Eish, everybody knows water puts out the fire. Ella, Ani Sar Shalesh, Gabriel says, I'm the minister of fire. Ered Vekarer B'mifnim, I'll go in and cool it off from the inside. Vakdiach Mibachutz, but I'll keep it hot on the outside. Vasen Nes B'toch Nes. Therefore, it'll be a miracle inside of a miracle. Those on the inside, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, will be saved. Those on the outside will be singed. Marlo Kadosh Baruch Hu Raid, go down. Hashem paid it back what he said. Here, he gave him the chance to accomplish what he had wanted to do with Avram Avinu. The Rishvam here quotes Psukim from Daniel. In Daniel it says that when they're looking, the people see that Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, when they're looking at the fire, they say, wait, Guvra Ilech Dihesiku. These men that were thrown into the fire, the Sidrach, Meshach, Va'avad Nego, which are the names of Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, Katel, Hemon, Shviva, Denura. Those people that were surrounding them were singed by the fire. So those people that had thrown them in are singed by the fire. And in addition to that, they also say there in the Psukim,
Ravei di Rivia, Domi the Bar Elohim,
that they see a fourth person in the fire. They have a vision of a fourth person in the fire. And here the Gemara refers to that as Gabriel, who came down to save them in the fire. Rabbi Natan Omer, Ve'emet Hashem Neolam, Dogim Shebiyam Amruah, the fish in the sea, said it, Rav Huna, Dem Rav Huni So Shebo Todor, Mikadnei Amunahu, you, the Israel in that generation who left Mitzrayim and went through Kriyat Yom Suf, Mikdanei Amunah, they were not fully faithful in Hashem. Ukedarash Rava Bar Mari, Ma'idichti Vayimru Ayam B'Yam Suf, that they rebelled on the Yam in the Yam Suf. What do you mean they rebelled? Malamei Shimru Yisrael B'Otosha. Bnei Yisrael were rebellious at that time. Vamru Shem Shanu Olim Mitzad Echad, just like we're coming on this side of the Yam Suf. Kach Mitzrayim Olim Mitzad Echer. They're all coming out on the other side. Malo Kadosh Baruch Hu Sashi Yam Palut Oton Liyabesha. Plototan the Yabasha, throw them out. I mean the Mitzrim, out of the Yam, dead, onto the Yabasha. Marla Fanabi Bono Shalom, Kumyesh Evich Noten Larabo Matana, Vechozev Notel. Man, you just gave me a gift. I'm going to feed the fish here. Now I have to spit them out? I'll give you 1.5 times payment back. If you pay them now, you dump them out now, I'll give you better later. If you earn interest, you'll get it back at 1.5 times later on. How am I going to get it? I can't come to you and say, pay up. You can't ask for that. Now you already know where it's going. Nachal Kishon will be my guarantor. Miyad palatotan the Yabasha, threw him out to the Yabasha, Ba'yisov Ra'u'otam. Then Bnei Yisrael saw them, Shinemar, Vayar Yisrael Mitzrayim, Meita Sfatayam. They saw them on the shoreline, because Hashem wanted to show them that they were dead over there. Now why they were zochet to Kvura has to do with the fact that they acknowledged Hashem. And since they acknowledge Hashem in Mitzrayim and also in the Yam Suf, Hashem nilcham lachem, Hashem is fighting for them, that acknowledgement got them the reward of being buried instead of drowned and left in the sea. Maya charu mechsa Hashem, what does it mean they got 1.5 times payment back? Deal with Paro Ktiv, by Paro it says, Shesh Melot Recheb Bechur, who were chasing Bnei Israel, 600 chariots. Vilu b'sisra, which is where Nachal Kishon comes up from, by Sisra Ktiv, Tesha Melot Recheb Bazel, he has 900 chariots, iron chariots, so it's 1.5 times, it's going to be the reward. Kiata Sisra, when he came, Ata Alayu, Bidkare de Parzola. They had on them these spurs of iron. Tia Kadosh Baruch Alem Kochavim Misilotan. Shem took out the stars from their paths. Dichtim in a Shemaim Nilchamua Kochavim. That the stars fought from the heavens. Keva de Nechitu Kochve Shemaim Alayu. Once the stars descended upon them, Agdiru Hane Dakre de Parzla, they heated up these metal spurs. So Nechitu Lakure, the Meschei Nafshayu and Nachal Kishon, they wanted to cool themselves off. So they ran down to Nachal Kishon to take a swim, to dip in, to cool themselves off. Marlo Kajrochel Nachal Kishon, Lech Vashleim Arvonech. Go back, pay back your guarantee now. Miyad Garfam Nachal Kishon, Vishlecham the Yam. Nachal Kishon swallowed them up and spit them out into the Yam, Shinemar. Nachal Kishon Garfeim Nachal Kidumim. Nachal Kishon sweeps them away. Nachal Kiduim, the Nachal of earlier. My Nachal Kidumim. Nachal Shenaseh Arev Mikedem. One who was a guarantor from way back. The Dagim said, Hashem is reliable, trustworthy. He paid us back what he was supposed to. Amar Rav Shimon ben Lakish, my dichtiv, Moshivi Akeret HaBayit. What does it mean that you've set me as the Akeret HaBayit, meaning the foundation of the Bayit? Amar Knesset Yisrael, Pnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Knesset Yisrael says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's not all of Knesset Yisrael. These are the better ones in Knesset Yisrael. Say, Ribono Shalom, Samuni Banecha, Kechuda Zu, Adara Bikrei Abatim. Your children's sins have made me like this weasel who lives in the foundation of the house. In that the reason that we are punished or we are downtrodden is because of the sins of Klal Yisrael. That's what the tzaddikim and the elders of Klal Yisrael say. Darash Rava Maidichtiv, Ahavti ki Yishma Hashem. Right? I am beloved when Hashem listens. Amra Knes Yisrael, Ribono Shalom. Eimat Ani Ahuva Lefanecha. When am I beloved before you? Bizman Shet Yishma Kol Tachanunai. When you listen to my supplications. Dalote Veliyoshia. When I'm down or downtrodden, you came and saved me. I'm not going to sell for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shalom. Avo Bisha Dala Ani B'mitzvot, even though I am poor, impoverished mitzvot, meaning that I don't have a lot of mitzvot. L'cha Ani, I am yours. V'lina Elo Shia, and therefore it's worthwhile to save us, because we are always dedicated to you, Hashem. Even if we're not always doing right, we are dedicated to you. I'm Rav Kana, Kishachala, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, Shalach Ro Rabbi. When Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai fell ill, Rabbi sent him, Amor lanu shnayim u'shlosha dvrim, shamarta lanu mishum avicha. Tell us over some two or three things that you heard from your father. The Rishbam points out that there are numerous places in Shas where Rabbi says this to Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. So he says, why is it that there are numerous places that this is mentioned in Shas? He says, either Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai fell ill many times, or he fell ill once, and Rabbi sent him this, and he got numerous answers from him. But then the Shas, when they were being inside of the Shas, put each one in its relevant location where it has to do with that Masechta. So that's why it's dispersed over Shas. Shalach lo kach amar Ava, my dichtiv, what is written by Helu et Hashem kol goyim, umot olam avavitayu. What is they doing about over here? Hacha gamar, Helu et Hashem kol goyim, agvurot v'nifalot avid ba'adayu. The goyim should give praise to Hashem, all the goodness that's done with them. Koshkein anu, the gavar alenu chasto, certainly us, who Hashem's chesed, graciousness, and kindness has been towards. I mean, it's a kav v'chomer. Vod, atida Mitzrayim shel tavid doron l'mashiach. Mitzrayim is going to bring a gift to Mashiach, because savur, inu mikabel mehem, he thought not to accept it from them. Marlor HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mashiach kibel mehem, accepted from them, kabel mehem. Achsanya asu l'b'nai b'Mitzrayim. They were the hosts for my children in Mitzrayim. Miyad, they say the pasuk, ye'itayu chashmanim mini Mitzrayim. That over there means that the princes will come, or they will be bearing big things to be brought forth. So they're playing on that. Yitayu chashmanim mine Mitzrayim is that the big things or the big numbers will come out of Mitzrayim. It means a gift. They're playing on the word chashmanim being a gift. Therefore, they will be bearing gifts, Mitzrayim. Nasa Kush kavachomer matzma. Kush now makes a kavachomer and says, Amahal alushin jishtabdu behen bekach. They enslaved them, and their gift was accepted. Ani shlo nishtabati b'hem. I, who did not enslave them, koshkein. L'Kadosh Baruch Hu kibel b'hem. You should accept from them. So miyad, continuation of the same pasuk there in Tehillim, which is Kush taritz yadav l'alukim. Kush will extend or stretch out its hands to God, and it will be accepted. Nasa machut romi arsha'a kavachomer matzma. Then Rome makes a kavachomer and says, Mahal alu she'en acheihem. Those who are not relatives, they gave a gift. Kach anu she'enu achem lo koshkein. We were relatives of Klai, so we certainly should be bearing gifts.
And Hashem will accept them.
Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Gabriel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Gabriel about Rome,
even though this is the pasuk before the pasuk that we just brought, it's still in the same parak or in the same context.
Ga'ar chayat kaneh. You should growl at the chayat kaneh, the wild animal of the reeds. Now the Gemara says, ga'ur chayah, to growl at the animal, ukaneh lecha edah. And you should acquire the edah. Subsequent word in the pasuk is also the word adat, which we're going to see in a second. And you should acquire for yourself the edah is Klal Yisrael. Davar acher, goor chayat kaneh, shadara ben akayim. You should growl at the animal that lives amongst the reeds, dechtiv. And what's that referring to? That's referring to Edom or to Rome, because it says, yechar semena chazir miyar. V'ziz sadai irena. So now yecharsimena chazir miyar, the chazir cuts up, chops, splits the wood of the forest. V'ziz sadai irena. And the wild beasts of the field graze over there. So you see from here that the chazir, which is referring to Edom, yecharsimena cuts down the wood or the reeds of the field. So that's what it means it's referring to over here, that you should growl at the animal that lives amongst the reeds. Amar Rabbi Chiya ba'av Amar Rabbi Yochanan Geor b'chaya shekol ma'aseh nechtavim b'kumus echad. He should growl at the animal whose all of his actions are written with one
kana or quill,
and they all have the same reason, which is to subjugate Klal Yisrael, is to make decrees against Klal Yisrael. That's what they focus on all the time. Adat abirim be'egle amim, the strong people, the groups of strong people are bulls be'egle amim that are treated like calves amongst the nations. Sheshachatu abirim kagalim, shem lehem balim, that they shech the abirim, the great ones, meaning Klal Yisrael, kagalim shem lehem balim, like little calves that have no owners. So they take advantage and they hurt, destroy Bnei Yisrael. Mitrapes beratzei kesef, they open up their hands with ratzei kesef, which is with bribes or with money. They open up their hands to accept money. In the end, they don't do it. They demand bribes from Klal Yisrael. Even after they get to take the bribes, they don't do what Klal Yisrael is trying to bribe them to do, which is to take back the decrees. Pizer, which does not found in the Pasuk. The Pasuk actually says, Bizar amim krevot yechapatsu. There's no nun sofit either in the Pasuk. But it means, the meaning of it is that Pizar amim means that you distributed them amongst the nations. They search, they want war. Who caused Bnei Yisrael to be dispersed amongst the nations? The closeness that they wanted amongst them, or the closeness that they wanted to Rome, who wanted war, that's what landed them split up or spread out amongst the nations. Also sent to them that there's 365 marketplaces in the city, great city of Rome. And each one of those had 365 towers. Each tower had 365 stairs in it. And each stair had enough stored in it, which would have been able to sustain the whole world. Amar Rabbi Shimon Birabi, Amri Law, Amar Rabbi Yishmael Birabi Yossi, Hani Laman. So who are these four? The answer is, Lecha, Ulecha Vecha, Ulecha Vrutecha. For you, your friends, and your friends' friends. Meaning for the tzaddikim. Shneamar, because the Pasuk says, in Ishayahu, Vaya, it will be that the Sachra, the Sochar, the prophets, that then Kodesh Lashem, they will be given Kodesh Lashem. Lo ye atzer velo ye chasein. It will not be stored. It will not be held back. Kili yoshlim lifnei Hashem yeh. It will be for those that sit for Hashem. It will be given to them. My lo ye atzer. What does it mean? Lo ye atzer. Tana Rav Yosef. Lo ye atzer ze beit otzar. That is the storehouses. Lo ye chasein ze beit gniza. This is the treasuries.
Meaning that the otzar, which contains the wine, the grains, and the oil, and the treasury, which has all the valuables like the gold and silver, all of that will be for those that sit before Hashem.
My ki yoshvim lifnei Hashem. What does that mean? It'll be for those that sit before Hashem. Melazar zehamakir makom chaveru b'yeshiva. So it's for the ones who recognize the place of their friends in the yeshiva. The Rashbam points out, it's someone who's always in the yeshiva, therefore he knows where everybody else sits because he's permanently in the yeshiva. That someone who greets his friends in the yeshiva. When he greets his friends in the yeshiva is because,
meaning that he always welcomes all those that are coming into the yeshiva. He stays close to them. He has both Torah and Derech Eretz.
Or the other possibility is that he's the one who's there earliest in the yeshiva. He's always learning. He comes in early. My ulemichase atik, which is the last part of that pasuk. Ulemichase atik, which really means to have fine clothing, to also wrap oneself in fine clothing. Over here, they're saying the mechaseh atik means to cover up that which is hidden or ancient. This is one who keeps covered those items that Hashem covered. My news, the trade Torah, the secrets of Torah. This is one who reveals the secrets that Hashem gave. My new tamei Torah. That is the reasons of the Torah or the good things in the Torah. Okay, we'll stop over here.